Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
Cheers, guys. A little tequila nippy, a little
cheers,
sippy.
Everybody.
Cheers to 500 million downloads this
God
week.
Damn. Yeah. Just in 1 week.
Can you believe it? All from Ruben.
Authorities are desperately searching for a killer accused of going on a rampage.
The search for a possible serial killer.
An urgent manhunt for a man authorities believe is behind a triple killing spree.
Police here speculating that a possible serial killer may have struck again.
I told her to get out of the car, and that's when she became afraid, and then I shot her.
Welcome to Jesse Wiseman's Crime Corner,
yeah.
Little nippy, slippy, tippy of tequila.
Mm.
Just need that, just that quick little burn.
Yeah,
know?
I've made all of my worst mistakes drinking
it's
tequila.
It's okay, that stuff, huh? It's okay.
It's
I forget how tequila is supposed to taste, huh?
I think that's the point of tequila, is it makes you forget everything.
Absolutely. Even how good tequila is. But, I mean, I don't even know anymore.
I don't usually do shots of gold. I like silvers more.
Yeah.
El Jimador silver is the best tequila for shots.
I think you're supposed
cold,
to.
Chilled.
I think you're supposed to, like, once you drink it, I think you're supposed, oh, that's smooth, right? I think I remember being like, oh, that's smooth. That goes down smooth. That didn't.
No, not that one.
Mm-hmm.
I've never really considered an alcohol to be like, oh, I mean, I don't really think about it when I drink it. It's more like, okay, this is going to get the job done. So I'll just go.
Well, when you're drinking, like, let's say someone's like, oh, this is good. It's a good, you know, high price something tequila. Not that you've, I don't know if you've ever experienced. Yeah. Coop. It's okay,
no.
Bud. Welcome.
Someday.
Welcome
Someday.
To the good life, right? But yeah, I think you're like supposed, I'm like bracing myself for something horrible. Do you know what I mean? Like how we used to drink a Popov or what have you.
Popovs.
An Everclear.
Bacardi 151.
Oof.
Good old
an
days.
An aftershock.
Oh, God.
Remember cracking those crystals, getting a little glass
oh,
in there?
Yeah.
Mm, that's smooth.
Yeah, I lost count of the amount of times that we were trying to, like me and my friends in high school, were trying to get the crystals out of the bottom of a bottle of aftershock.
What the fuck? I don't know what this is.
What?
I've never had aftershock.
I don't think we, what would we, did just,
we
just
were drinking
did whiskey. Yeah.
Jim Beam,
little
Evan
nippies.
Williams.
Little nippies.
Aftershock would kind of be like the grandfather of a Fireball.
Yeah, it's like a cinnamon, but it's clear.
Yeah.
And
why are you scraping the crystals?
So it's got like these sugar crystallized things at the bottom that make like almost ice.
Yeah.
Bergs, what are they?
It'd be
like a stalactite or stalagmite kind of
be,
thing.
Yeah, like a stalagmite.
From
why
the
are
bottom.
You getting them?
Because they're like really alcoholic. And that's where like the, I don't know, why were we? There's no way that sugar was alcoholic.
No, because you're in high school. And
guess
it's,
who was alcoholic?
And it's cool and it's sweet.
Yeah. Well, that's what I was going
to
say.
It's, right?
Was it frozen?
Fucking.
Or it's just like crusty sugar?
No, it's like sugar crystals.
Okay.
And eventually, like we were saying, the way that you get to the crystals is you try to scrape them out, and somebody is so drunk and frustrated trying to get them out that they just smash the bottle.
Smash
so
the
you
bottle.
End up eating broken glass.
Well, you're picking
the
through being like, is this sugar? Oh, no. Is
How
it
did
glass?
I miss this? This sounds awesome.
I wonder, can we. Do they still make aftershock?
They have to stop.
I've never even
Coop, you
seen
have your
that.
Phone. Look it up, friend, while we
it.
Tease this show a little bit. Welcome back to Jesse Wiseman's Crime Corner. I know we're still on the air. But yeah. not for long, I'm sure. No, I'm just kidding. We're going to do this forever.
They can't stop us.
They can't stop us. If they want us off here, we go somewhere else. And if we're off somewhere else...
They still sell it.
Oh my gosh, where can we... Like a Total Wine or something like this?
You can order it online. I've been in a lot of liquor stores lately, and I never see it on the shelves. It's like Fireball's kind of stolen its thunder.
Completely different. But completely different.
What's the alcohol percentage?
So Fireball could run.
Oh, yeah. I think
that's... Probably around the same?
The percentage was pretty high, right? And the sugar content was through the fucking roof.
Ugh.
Oh, yeah.
It was disgusting. Let's be real.
Hangover juice, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
I can't believe I never had this.
I think there was a blue one, too. I don't know. Things are muddy from back then, obviously.
Well, 30%.
That's not even a lot.
Yeah. Well, I mean, to us nowadays, when, you know. Well,
isn't it Fireball, 70 proof? Is that 70 proof?
30% would be around 60 to 70 proof.
Okay, yeah, that's normal.
Like Fireball's 35%. So it's stronger. Whatever.
And less glass. Welcome. Yes, welcome. We're here. We're still here.
Speaking of Aftershock, first time I ever had Aftershock, it was because a homeless person bought it for me and my friends, which plays into the story for the day.
Interesting segue, and I'll allow it. we've got an interesting case today. We're not going to tease it too much. I think we're going to just go into it. We're going to start with a little audio clip for you guys.
Oh.
And then... It feels weird not to do a lot of intro, right?
I know. It's...
Doesn't it feel weird? It feels like Ruben's like, oh, finally. And I'm like, no!
A sub 10-minute cold open? Are you kidding me? Is there something wrong?
Just getting right into it like a dolph?
Funny you, say that because we're already 7 minutes in.
Are you serious? Are you serious? We're 2 hours into the intro. We're like, feels short. It feels a little short, huh? Well, listen, we'll interrupt each other the whole time, huh?
Yeah, I'm hoping so.
We'll save time in the intro. We'll make up during what we're saving in the intro.
See, that right there, very responsible.
Is efficient, yep.
That's why it's Jesse Weissman's Crime Corner.
We're going to spend 10 minutes talking about how we're going to keep the intro short.
Yeah. Nothing would piss off Ruben more, huh? Just kidding, buddy. We love you. Oh, what'd you lose? You lost a guy.
2,000
films. Oh, he committed suicide because of that freaking intro, huh? Listen, like I said, we thought we'd do a fun and flirty way. So let's listen to this really quick, guys, first.
All right.
My is John. What's the address of the emergency?
Hi, there is an emergency. I found something in my son's closet wrapped in a plastic bag.
Okay, what was it?
Okay, might not have understood what it said, and that's good.
Yeah.
We're saving that for later.
If you guys heard, it's a woman crying, a mom.
Okay.
She's calling 911. She's saying, I found something in my son's closet, and starts crying. Okay? So let's start there.
Oh, God.
It could be. It could be a sock full of, feces.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean? Like, that would be horrifying.
I mean, there's plenty of things that my mom's found in my closet that she's cried over. Mm-hmm. Not quite like this, but I think it's kind of the part of.
Could be any number.
It's a part of raising a teenage boy.
You
coming out of it?
Oh, yeah. She found me in the closet. She was like, "Not my son." I always knew this was coming.
And he's just coming out trying to hug her.
Yeah. Hello,
mother!
Police, I'm calling because my son's in the closet. He's gay.
Hey, well, talking about on the other episode.
Is he still in the closet?
No,
he's
not anymore.
He's coming out.
Oh, yeah, he's coming out of the closet.
Straight to the Pray Away the Gay camp.
Yep. As we all know.
And it works.
Worked on me. Worked
every
on you.
Time.
Love the
every
ladies.
Time.
Just love the ladies now.
Yes. I love the ladies. In modern America, there are roughly three classes of homeless people. You have the run-of-the-mill addicts, wiling away their days, stealing copper from construction sites to support their drug habits and purchasing booze for underage teens looking to party. There's the crazies that Ronald Reagan put on the streets after closing down the loony bins, which provide their own utility through Christ-like sermons on the street corners. And then there are the legends, the Johnny Appleseeds, the ones that make the world a better place despite their position on the social hierarchy. The ones like Warren Barnes.
Good old Warren Barnes.
Good old Warren Barnes. Warren Barnes was a 69-year-old vagrant from Grand Junction, Colorado, that brought joy to everyone he encountered. He was known as the reading man to locals in the community due to his healthy addiction to literature. Anyone who had the pleasure of crossing paths with him remembered him as the kindly old man with a salt and pepper beard and a smile that some would say...
Does he die?
Could light up a closet. Some would say could light up a room. Unsurprisingly, Warren was reported missing by a bridal shop owner named Monique Linotti around the tail end of February 2027.
So he's not even dead yet.
No, he's missing.
We got about 3 more years before he's found dead.
He's missing.
Of old age.
And it's
2021. Did I write 2027? That was a last minute addition.
No, 2021. Did I say 2020?
Oh, okay. Lord. I thought I wrote 2027 in there. Okay. Just making sure I didn't throw it out.
This is a crime from the future.
Well, the last episode, Coop said that Gypsy lit up the room. So I thought that little Gypsy was the one that was going
to
die.
Look,
ended
all
up being
we're doing is
mom.
Trying to mess just with you, bro. Yeah. All we're doing is trying to mess with your head.
You are.
We have those meetings before the show just to figure out what way we can throw you off the trail.
Today, like Jesse was like, turn the music up more. And then you guys like, I could hear little whispers over there behind the desk.
Listen, tell me the truth. Do you like that or not?
Yeah, it's cool.
Do you like kind of being surprised? And then it gives you things to ask that maybe the audience is asking.
I think it's perfect.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay,
I mean,
good.
Even I think
if
you're perfect.
Aw.
Oh, sweet.
Even if I could hear you, I wouldn't listen anyway. So
I still exactly right. So it's like he could know the whole thing. On. He could know the whole thing.
Come on in.
And no one would. He wouldn't listen anyways. Sup, bud? So we've got our first character, our first person.
Warren
missing.
Barnes.
Warren Barnes, you think, oh, homeless person, you know, reading under a bridge. This guy was really sweet. He also, people didn't even really know he was homeless. Even Monique was like, I think he lives somewhere and he just sort of helps out, you know, he likes to read under the bridge. So he was very much trying to, you know, be a part of the community and be like, oh, no, I live over here. I'm just trying to, you know.
Seems like a really interesting person because he was definitely homeless, but everybody loved him. Nobody suspected
everyone loved
that
him, and there was a lot of people that said like, "Oh, I don't think he was." Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, like, it makes me wonder like what was it that was keeping him there? It was almost like maybe not necessarily a choice on his part, but that's just where he could do the most good. Like overall,
he was
like
homeless.
He was definitely homeless,
but he I think just didn't want to have that. You know, he didn't want to tell people, oh, I'm homeless, and have them, like, you know, do charity. Like,
oh,
he was
man.
Actually helping out. He would help out this bridal store owner, like, move boxes in, and he's helping around. He's reading, talking to people. I don't think he wanted people to, like, look down on him.
He probably also didn't want people to feel bad for him or anything like that. He's just one of the good ones.
That's how good. And addicted to reading. My God. Makes
what
you
a
wonder
fucking nerd.
Why you on the street. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So, moving on.
As any parent to a teenager can tell you, there comes a time when they begin to branch out on their own. This is especially true with teenage boys with their proclivity for watching scrambled softcore porn. And is that so? When I was writing this, is that even a reference that people are like younger people are going to understand.
Watching I understand, like, and like, nobody young listens to our show. Can we be okay. real? So I understand.
I understand.
If there's anybody under the age of 30 that's listening to this show,
they wouldn't know.
Yeah. So back in the day, if you wanted to see, some naughty stuff, and your parents sweaty. Didn't pay for the. I'm not going to say anything to
No, bad. No, I'm just like, it's bringing, do you know what I mean? Like, it's so cringy, but.
She's getting super turned on right now.
I'm getting embarrassed but for all of us.
I mean, where we are in our lives, we understand that this is how it used to go.
It's how it used to go.
The first time you ever saw anything overtly sexual or very blatantly sexual, it was either by finding porn magazines in bushes somewhere, because somehow that's where
that
they always end up.
Literally where I found my first porn mag.
Same here.
First time
P.S.
I saw
that's
any
where,
of that.
Same, but it's that's where everyone
in
finds
a bush,
it.
In the forest. That's where you jerk off.
You want a drink, bud? You can get one over there.
It's kind of sad that kids aren't going to have that experience anymore. Like, everything is just so readily available. They don't have to try and watch Skinamax.
I'm sure they're real sad.
Watching Red Shoe Diaries
I'm sure they're
really missing out.
I'm sure they're crying right into their fucking...
into their socks?
I don't know.
That's not crying.
You didn't finish that where you had to watch that one. Do you remember the one fuzzy channel where you could kind of make out the shapes and hear it?
It wasn't even hardcore like the internet. It was like Skinamax type.
But you
shit.
Could hear people doing stuff, and you could kind of fuzzy make out the like outline
the lines,
of
the lines
people,
the shapes
like
of the body.
Were, you couldn't even see shapes. The lines themselves be going like this.
That's why
and you'd be like,
we're
they're fucking.
Yeah. That's why we're the generation that's making all the best art. Because our we had to use our imaginations like you would not believe.
You couldn't just go straight to Pornhub and watch a gangbang. You had to
get
imagine
everything.
It in your mind.
Absolutely.
Yeah. The last generation that had to imagine to bust.
Yeah.
And that's why we're good at art.
Yep.
Okay, honestly, there is a major philosophical argument in that.
Yeah,
statement
like
that
we
I agree
could
with.
Go if we wanted.
We could
to...
do an entire yes. episode on that yes. night. I would agree with all of
this. True. Great point, Jesse.
Thank you, sir.
I agree. For most parents, the worst thing they can expect to discover whilst digging through the closet of their hormone-soaked teens is an old stack of Victoria's Secret magazines, or possibly a hustler they swiped from their divorced uncle's house. For the parents of Brian Cohey, however, the grim discovery was much, much worse.
Put kindly, Brian, so we're on to our second character in the story.
Okay.
A Brian Cohey. Put kindly, Brian is what some people would call a late bloomer. Put less kindly, Brian was far enough along the spectrum that he was on the verge of discovering the rainbow connection. Along with autism, he also struggled with depression and had a difficult time making friends. Long story short, he was like Captain Planet if all the powers he was combining came out of the DSM-5. What? Don't fucking make me read any more nerd shit, dude.
That was a nerd shit. That was
what do you mean that wasn't
stuff?
Nerd shit? What is it?
DSM
what is DSM-5?
DSM-5? I don't know that either. And I was about to raise my hand because I had a question about something earlier, but I already forgot what it was now. Something about a rainbow box?
Rainbow
Connection, dude.
Yeah.
God, I really got to get my references down here. Okay, so Rainbow Connection is a song that Kermit the Frog sang that was about
Rainbow
like,
Connection.
See?
I don't know that
got
one.
Got that one.
You don't know that? You don't know that literal?
No.
Okay.
Never heard it. I don't watch. Never watched Sesame Street as a kid, though.
Oh, that's right.
I never really watched it either. Oddly enough, I watched more Sesame Street like as an adult than I did when I was a kid. So
that
the DSM-5, that's
A Lives Alone.
That's the diagnostic. It's the book that psychologists have that have all of the mental disorders. So anxiety,
I thought it was something to do with Captain Planet.
No, it's like man. So instead of all the members of the Planeteers having rings that have, like, element-based powers...
Earth, wind, moon, water, fire, whatever it is, earth, heart...
All of them are different forms of autism and depression. And when you combine all of them, you get Captain Brian Cohey.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, Our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Jesus Man, you Christ, were high that's what you were
shit.
Fucking...
Yeah, you were high as I thought shit that... writing this, and I love it. I love it.
No, it would have made more sense if I was high. This is the reason that I shouldn't write sober.
Maybe get high next time.
I'll work on it.
All right. On March 1st...
I'll work on doing
I'll
more drugs.
Work on it. See what you can do, friend.
That's why we love working with
that's
Jesse.
That's why this is my kind of job.
Oh, the writing's off a little? Do more drugs.
Maybe do a little more drugs. It was better last
Maybe
time.
Maybe do some downers, uppers, downers, uppers, uppers, downers at the same time. You know what I'm saying.
Mix it up a little.
Mix it up. Stay up all night.
Vicodin and coffee.
Oof. Fucking the hipsters. 8-ball. Okay. On March 1st, 2021 in Grand Junction, Colorado, Terry Cohey was cleaning her 19-year-old son's bedroom while putting some items away in his closet and discovered a Rubbermaid container that she didn't recognize. Out of a combination of curiosity and good, old-fashioned and good,
comma. Good old-fashioned, motherly meddling.
Thank you.
I got so passionate about the sentence, thinking about the times no, when my mom started digging through my shit and asking me questions. Brings back too many memories.
I know. Out of a combination of curiosity and good old-fashioned motherly meddling, she decided to take a peek inside. There she found a heavy plastic bag with maggots spilling out of it. Now even more curious, she moved the bag to the kitchen sink to investigate it further. The horrific contents of the bag led her to make the following 911 call.
Fuck.
So we will listen to the rest of the call that we heard earlier.
How old is the son?
19. Yeah, around this point he was about 19.
Okay, what was it?
I think it's a human head.
It's a what?
I think it's a human head.
On March 1st, 2020.
Holy shit! Do I play the whole
thing? A human head.
Yeah.
In a bag in the closet.
Yeah.
That I feel like over the course of this show, there's been a lot of things that I can kind of relate to a little bit too much. And I dare say that were it not for the grace of God, my mom marrying my stepdad, maybe I would have gone down this path. Because when I was a hunter, when I was younger, I used to cut off tails of the animals that I would kill and I'd keep them in my room. So my mom has actually found a bag with maggots in it in my room growing up.
Right.
Obviously, I readjusted, and it was never a human head.
That she noticed. She never noticed the human head.
No, those went in the backyard. I'm not a heathen.
Is the head dead? Nailed it.
No, he's all right. You're going to find out soon that he had a big smile on his face at the time.
So that was the one that had the best audio. Do I just play even the
rest of it is just TikTok commentary.
Okay.
The weird thing about this case is it's so new that the majority of the information, any videos or anything like that, the only video evidence that you can find on YouTube is the interrogation, the actual 911 call. You can only find it on TikTok.
And then it's like people commenting on it.
Yeah, commenting over the top of it.
Okay.
When did this happen?
The initial murder was in alleged initial murder was 2021.
But sentencing, I think, just happened, right? So police were immediately
Grand Junction?
Yeah.
I think I was in Grand Junction.
In Colorado?
That's where we shot those movies with Hank.
Oh.
It was in Grand Junction, and it was like
2021?
Right before COVID.
Well, that was before 2020, wasn't it? Or it was 2020.
No, that was okay, so that was a few years before that. Yeah, okay. that was like 2019.
Grand Junction's like super nice. There's no homeless people there.
Yes.
Well, not anymore, obviously.
Because someone's doing the laundry.
Police were immediately dispatched to arrest and interrogate Brian. Their manhunt didn't last long because Brian obviously wasn't all that great at hiding things. When approached by the officers, Brian very casually admitted, and he knew why, very casually admitted that he knew why they were there. This interaction was captured on the body cam of one of the investigators. Fun fact, this was actually the first day that they had started using body cam.
Whoa.
In this particular part.
Was it?
Yes. And the person talking about it was like, amazing. That like you just go, okay, we're going to start using body cam. The officer puts it on, goes out.
That is a beautiful first take. Like that's right? That's some solid filmmaking right there.
Yeah, let's see, what's this one?
So his reaction when the cops approach him is the reason that I was really adamant about doing this episode. There's not very many killers that I've seen that have any reaction even close to what he has.
BTK.
BTK
reminds me a lot. And it makes me wonder, was BTK on some kind of extreme spectrum slash, you know what I mean? Because it was so...
The earnestness that he talks about the crimes, yeah, it makes sense. I'm really looking forward to doing a BTK episode because I definitely have a lot of opinions about him. He seems like such a... He's obviously a piece of shit, but he's also a try-hard piece of shit.
Oh, he's the worst.
Yeah.
He's the worst. He's not even badass about it.
Yeah.
Anyway, badass about it.
Have some concerns or some stuff they may have found in your room?
Yeah, I believe so.
And what would it be?
A human head and hands.
The fuck?
Matter of fact, guys.
It is just so, and if you can see the expression on his face, it's not even like, oh shit, I'm in trouble. It's like, all right, I knew this was coming. It's a human head and hands.
Damn.
Yeah.
That's super creepy.
Yeah. And this whole interaction is kind of like that, where, because it goes on, and the cop is just like, he said, for real? A for real? Like, the cop is just like so surprised, but like, trying to be like, okay, man, and then so why and who? You know what I mean? Trying to stay calm in the face of being like, dude, what?
Yeah.
He like almost is saying, huh? But trying to. Ugh. So it's a long, you know, these things are very long. We do the clips because just like a trial, if you watch the whole thing at interrogation, what have you, there is a lot of in between. There's a lot of boring parts.
It's draining.
The crime shows really give you the best little clips. Yeah. Little
just the
clips.
Highlight reels. This is one of those interrogations that if you have a strong enough stomach for it, which the three of us, we've seen and heard a lot of messed up shit.
We're desensitizing Joel bit by bit, but he probably can't handle it right now.
Nope.
The way that this guy discusses the entire crime is so disturbing to me that I was surprised that I was able to be disturbed by it.
Yeah.
Wait, he says how he does it and everything and all that?
I felt like I had to leave out the worst parts. There's, should we give like a bit of a gold star style warning? This is probably a little bit more
graphic.
A little bit more graphic and detailed than
we usually
previous
do.
Previous episodes. But we did leave out the worst stuff for the most part, but.
For the most part, I'll probably add it back in. But so this is, we're going a little bit more in depth of the actual killing only because the killer so readily offers it up. And so that's kind of part of the story, which is why we do it. But we'll do it. You've been warned.
Yeah.
We can't really make this as fun and flirty as we normally do, but Damn it, if we're not going to try.
We'll do our best, that's for damn sure.
We'll see about that. A couple more tequila shots.
Nippy, 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 tippy.
It goes without saying that Brian was placed under arrest and taken in for interrogation. What followed... Did he die?
Wait.
Does he die?
Who's dead? Yeah.
What followed was one of the most disturbing and detailed descriptions of a brutal murder in recent history. The head and hands Terry Cohey had discovered belonged to a 69-year-old homeless man named Warren Barnes.
I know. Legend. Reading man.
Barnes was a local fixture in the Grand Rapids community, Grand Junction. Mistyped that. Known for his friendly demeanor and Santa Claus-like beard. Unlike many residentially challenged individuals, when Warren went missing, it was quickly noticed and reported by the members of the surrounding community. Warren was listed as a missing person, and police launched a, honestly, fairly half-hearted search. But when it comes to homeless people, as often as they disappear, you kind of just expect
it. You kind of have to have, so they first were like, when I, like I said, Monique was saying, I think he has a house. Like, he told us all he had a place to live. So they're like, okay, trying to find that so that they can look there first. Once they didn't find that he had a residence, they kind of, unfortunately, lost a lot of steam there.
Yeah, and also you would assume that somebody in his position, if they go missing, you're looking for a corpse. It'll turn up eventually.
Or
I mean,
he leaves.
Pretty heartless, but.
Or he moved to another, you know what I'm saying? Like,
goes to a completely different city.
Right. Where are you looking at that point? Do you know it's a murder? No. You just think this person's not here anymore at their usual spot. What does that mean?
Yeah, it's not, yeah. Not like you're looking for the mother of three children where, as bad as it sounds, somebody's going to be real upset about it.
Right.
And some people are, but...
Why was he keeping the hands and head in the closet?
All right, so...
That's a good question.
I know.
During the interrogation of Brian Cohey, investigators questioned him about his motives. Brian simply stated that he had been curious about what it felt like to take another person's life. His choice of target was entirely impersonal. He had selected Warren Barnes specifically for the fact that the death or disappearance of a homeless person is investigated about as thoroughly as a missing lunch from a break room at work.
Oh, no wonder I got away with stealing all those lunches when we worked at Amgen.
And see, nobody looked into it that hard. They'd ask questions, but they didn't really follow up.
They'd ask me, because I was the security guard.
You're like, I didn't see anything.
Didn't see a thing, but damn, that sandwich was fucking good.
Yeah, yeah. You're like, oh, but I bet whoever did it had a good sandwich.
They're not going home hungry tonight, that's for sure.
Or you're like, I'm on it.
That was the best part. Like the best.
I'll start the investigation. The yeah, I'm on the case.
When you got patrol, normally you were stuck in one spot, but when you got patrol, you could patrol each floor and
steal
go to
sandwiches.
Each and see whatever people left overnight and eat it.
Yeah, I don't know. Have we mentioned on the show before that the way that Joel and I met was working as security guards together, like back in 2003
Lord, that
or something?
Sketch is coming. That sketch will
now,
be
but...
forthcoming. What? What'd you have to wear?
We had the whole thing,
the
uniforms,
whole thing.
Belts, fucking
what
flashlights.
Was your protection? What were you packing?
Maglites.
Maglites.
No, I mean maglites.
Magnums. No guns.
Okay.
You had some guns on you. That's why we stayed friends.
Yeah, yeah. No pepper spray? Nothing?
Some of the guards had pepper spray.
There's no way in hell they would have trusted us with that shit, though. I got to wear a suit, though.
Oh, yeah, who got to wear a fucking suit? I was in the dorky security guard outfit, the standard one.
Oh, the polo with the logo
polo
on it
and
everything
logo,
like that.
Like the,
and
but
then
the badge
you two, here's
in.
How I picture it. You two, you're patrolling. You both get put on patrol. You're walking, one's in a suit, one's in the, you know, the classic garb. You're walking around the corner and you both grab the fridge handle at the same time. Look into each other's eyes and go,
69.
Metal?
Oh.
You like metal? Yeah.
Heavy metal?
You smoke cigarettes? Fuck yeah.
Fuck yeah, I do.
I do now.
You like drinking? Do you like nipping and sipping? Jacking, jerking? Yeah. And then it was like forged in fridge handle forever.
pretty close.
Oh, how sweet. And then, like, you open it, the light of the fridge is going on both you guys, and you're like...
And the, yeah, that's when it transitions.
Almost.
69.
Kiss. And as soon as it bounced off his skin, and the way that
it looks like
the leftover sandwiches...
In the scene, it looks like you guys are about to kiss because it's your side of the angle, your angle, your angle, and it shows you guys both biting into a sandwich together. And the sandwich has someone else's name on it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's exactly how it happened.
Get on it.
We got to shoot that.
We're shooting that.
I don't have my outfit anymore. I don't have my security guard suit anymore.
We'll get you one.
Really? I kept mine. No, I didn't.
In many of the cases we cover, the culprit... in many of the cases we cover, the culprit is hell-bent on lying their way out of being convicted, which is... We like that, right? We like seeing how people try and outsmart a trained investigator. This was not the case of Brian Cohey.
And the ones that think they're so smart that they're outsmarting the people that are interrogating.
It's my favorite.
It is fucking beautiful.
Diane Downs still.
And
my
the
favorite.
Moment oh, the yeah. moment where they think they're getting away with it and just keep to I mean it's brilliant. Throughout the entire interrogation, he made no attempts to mislead investigators or hide his crime. Within minutes, he casually stated that he had committed a murder and was likely facing a minimum of 20 years in prison. The entire interrogation and the tone of an had the tone of an employee being written up for showing up late to their shift at Best Buy. Sometimes giddy, sometimes matter of fact, sometimes, I mean, just...
We gotta work... People don't know what Best Buy is anymore, Coop.
I was there today.
Radio Shack. It was like somebody... No, Circuit City.
Ugh.
Blockbuster.
Yeah.
I was there today.
Sense? You went to a Best Buy today?
And when I say, as I'm walking in, I just know it's going to be the worst.
Like, Do they still have employees?
Kind of. Not really. There. The other day when I was getting the... trying to get the PS5. I'm like in the section, just like hello. Like I need
echo
to be yes. Like something's wrong. I need help. Like
you're looking for
like my leg is broken or something.
Search and rescue party.
Yes,
got lost on a hike. Hurt yourself.
The only way after waiting in there for 40 minutes, walking out, you know, and I was just like, hello. Please, I'm over here, like a plane, like I'm looking at a plane on a desert island kind of thing. Still nobody.
Yeah.
Because no I know that actually pisses them off more than me just asking for help, right?
Yeah.
So I know if they see on the camera or they see me doing that, they're like, don't fucking help the mom in the fucking...
Don't help that blonde over there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. She doesn't know anything. She's going to ask us for an Xbox S5, which I did. So
oh,
I...
God.
I needed another controller for the PS5. And I'm like in a hurry and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, where's the controllers for the Xbox 5? And like the like employee
shit.
Who's on his phone still like in the Apple section. He's like, oh, like I think what? There's no
Xbox.
There's no
5?
Xbox 5. And I was like, oh, sorry, sorry. I mean, PS5. He's like, past the Apple section.
And
just
so
like
you know.
That.
There's an Xbox One, there's not an Xbox 5, and the Xbox One is the third Xbox to ever be made, and if that confuses you, you shouldn't even be in this section.
Yes,
why don't you just go buy a Nintendo?
No, no, he was pointing out that I was a dumbass, because I accidentally was like, I need an Xbox 5 controller, because I'm dumb, right? Clearly I wanted the PS5, you know what I'm saying? And no, I was like in a hurry and I said the wrong thing. And he's just like,
you're like holding a PS5 box. You're like, I need another controller.
Yeah. And he's like, he wanted to just be, he basically, by the way, the section would have been the same no matter what I was asking for. But he had to stop and let me know, like, what? No such thing. Do you know what I mean? And then pointing me to the same place. Didn't take me over there, didn't walk the two aisles over to be like, which one, whatever, was like, went back to his phone.
Yeah, I was going to say, didn't put his phone
down
the whole time.
Lanyard, right?
Because that is the only given situation that a huge nerd can lord any power over somebody.
Oh,
that's
and I handed it right to him, and I even practiced before I went. I was like, PS5 controller. a controller. Those are PS5. So where are the controllers for the PlayStation, right? And I practiced it, and I went in and just fucking flubbed it. And in front of this nerd, I was the stupidest lowlife that ever fucking lived.
I take it back, Coop. I guess putting Best Buy in the script Best is Buy's relevant.
Best Buy's the thing.
And good.
Is it a hellscape? Is it the worst place you've ever been? You guys would never step foot, but it's for, and I think the people that work there know that it's only for people like me that don't know shit. And so they already hate you when you walk in. They already are just like, what? I'm going to have to explain HDMI. Do you know what I mean?
That's their job, though.
Yeah, but the thing, it's
that's
like,
not what they got into this for. You know what I mean? Like, they wanted to talk to other nerds about nerd shit and fucking nerd out. And, yeah, like,
they,
all they're
they
doing.
They want to be a video game maker, but yep. They're working at Best Buy.
The yep. Best Buy employees are the ones that just weren't smart and hipster enough to get a job at the Apple store. Like, at the Apple store, you know, they yeah. Lord that over you also. I mean, Best Buy, fucking tone it down a bit. Just
they thought they were
going to
be behind the Geek Squad desk, right? Nope. They don't have enough employees. They put them out on the floor. I think they're all Geek Squad people that are out on the floor being like, I'm not fucking supposed to be here.
No, they're
and it sucks, dude. It really sucks. And it feels like the skateboard shop we were talking about in one of the episodes.
Is exactly how everybody like under 25 sounds to me and looks and acts.
Yeah.
It's weird how that works.
Xbox 5. Try again, bitch. It's like, excuse me, try again. And by the way, they can talk to you like that because you need them.
Yeah.
They don't need you. You're going to fucking get it or you're not. They don't give a shit. No commission, no nothing.
And if you ask for the manager or try to complain, the manager is just that dude's friend.
No, he just turns around three times and goes, you got him.
turns his badge around.
Now you're talking to the manager. So... yeah, there's Best Buy, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
That was a fucking beautiful description of Best Buy. That
nailed it.
That was
a one star of Best Buy from Jesse Weissman.
Seriously, that was so that was so accurate.
The customers here.
Okay, and then I even was in the section being like, "Gosh, I could use just some guy grabbing the box and giving it to me." Don't be in a hurry. You'll be in there for 3 hours and not leave with the thing that you want.
It's the only reason they're still in business.
So true. It's like just on the off chance that they have that one, you know, SD card or fucking HDMI that you need. Everything else has been on the shelf for 5 years. Hasn't moved. Dust all over it. The only thing is we're grabbing last minute SD shit. Cards. Yeah. Best Buy, yes. Interrogations generally begin with the investigators building a rapport with the suspect, generating a sense of trust so they feel comfortable speaking freely. This was not the case with Brian Cohey. Right at the beginning of the interview, he asked the police what they wanted to know. He then gave them all the details they could ever hope for / not hope for. Brian recounted the bloody murder with the fervor of a woman telling her significant other about her day at work. The one difference between the police actually wanting to hear what Brian had to say. What? Oh, the only difference being that, damn it. Fuck that. I shouldn't read anything. Sorry, I was all fucking still at Best Buy in my mind.
All juiced up on that Best Buy fervor.
But go again. Brian recounted the bloody murder with the fervor of a woman telling their significant other about her day at work. The only difference being the police actually wanted to hear what Brian had to say. Bam! Nailed it! I'll be here.
There it is.
Next week. So, this is, as with the body cam footage, the police, and especially in this part, they don't get these kind of crimes here. So the investigators, the police with the body cam, they're trying really hard to stay cool.
And
even
not,
in the interrogation.
Not act like super excited, like, oh, holy shit, he's telling, no, play it yep, cool.
No, be cool. Just ask him calmly. And there's moments where the interrogators are just like, all right, how did that feel? You know what I mean? They don't even know how to deal with someone that's just telling you deadpan, very matter of fact, what they did and why.
Insane detail. Like even personal thoughts that were going through their head while they were committing the murder.
Not like I didn't remember, not like I'm crazy, not like I don't know, I had a blackout, just...
They actually let him go because they're like, I haven't been trained for this.
Yeah, they're like, all right, well, I guess this, I mean, you told the truth. That's good. I don't know. We don't have a body. Fine. Bye. Yeah.
I mean, is it at this point, I'm not even sure if it's a crime if you're just this open about it. I got to talk to my supervisor about this one.
Yeah. Had it just been missing, had they not had a body, they would have been like, this guy, fuck. They wouldn't have believed it. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
they would have been like, dude, this guy's crazy. He's trying to, like, you know, confess to some weird crime. Let's just put him. Let's see. The body never came up or anything like that. It would be like, he wouldn't be.
Dude, and especially with his demeanor and everything like that, there's no way in hell that he would have even been a suspect. He wouldn't have come up on the radar at all. If it weren't for his mom finding a severed head in his closet.
Jesus Christ.
Having been explicitly told that his motive was morbid curiosity, the investigators began gathering information on how the crime was carried out. Once again, Brian was more than happy to share the details. At one point, he grabs a marker and begins drawing a map of the crime scene on the wall. The wall of the interrogation room, and explains how he found his victim. I don't know if we say in this, but again, autism, ADHD, when he became hyper-focused on something, the last thing that he was kind of getting into that his mom was like, okay, maybe we can channel this, is he was getting into interrogation, being a crime scene investigator. And so kind of training for that and wanted to start taking the steps to become.
Shit.
Yeah. And so the mom's like, okay, this is something. I know he was like a little morbid, but maybe this can all be good. And which is why he kind of talks
in the right direction.
Yes. And that's why he talks about it in this way and is like kind of excited to be with the investigators and show the crime scene. And he even acts out stuff. He's like, can I show you how I got on? You know what I mean?
Yeah. And he even talks about how, like, his own theories about body decomposition and and how he calls it something like the rule of threes or something. And he's like,
he studied a little bit.
He knew a decent amount about what he was talking about because he was obviously fascinated by the subject, and he was super excited to be talking to people that were actually professionals. It came across as like peers discussing something with each other.
So let's see what this.
And he's 20.
At this point, 19. He's around 19. Yeah, his overall demeanor was
like
the part
he was
that
another
was
cop, dude.
Yeah,
like he was telling them about a crime that he discovered. Anyway,
driving along, and I see a shape here on the railway track. So I'm like, oh, interesting. So I go up, and as I'm looking, I see a large thing wrapped in a canvas.
Okay.
And I'm like, that's a homeless person. Driving along, and I see.
So this is like kind of the tenor of the interrogation where you can hear him. He's like talking to the interrogator almost as a peer, and and you see him in the video kind of going back to the wall like he's his boss,
and literally just
using a marker
to draw
on
the wall,
straight like up wall. There's no dry erase.
The first time that I saw it, I thought that he was drawing
a
dry erase board, and after watching it a couple times, no, he just grabs a marker
like a child
and starts
drawing on a wall,
diagrams on the wall.
Whoa.
But again, in this setting, if you didn't know he was the one that committed the crime, it would sound like someone else explaining, like another cop kind of explaining what he saw, what happened, drawing on the board. And then I go, hey, what's that? So I, pulled back the canvas and...
On some level, it almost comes across like a Ed Kemper kind of thing, where he's so familiar with, because police used to go to Ed Kemper for information, like advice on other killers. And
what's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Create the deck of your dreams now at Menards. Spend less time maintaining your deck and more time enjoying it with UltraDeck low-maintenance composite decking from Menards. It's easy to install and built to last. Plus, get free estimates fast with our deck design program in-store and on Menards.com. Save big on UltraDeck and check out more great deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Yeah. Ed Kemper was one of those people, insanely intelligent, and he was so matter-of-fact about everything that he would look at the cases and just be like, oh, okay, so, you know, this, this, and this, kind of lay things out, very matter-of-fact. So if Brian Cohey would have not been a complete psychopath, he might have actually made a really good forensic investigator. He would have been like a monk or something like that. I mean, yeah. Monk the character, the
he
Tony
just had
Shalhoub.
To get one out. I think he's still
not like
be.
A not like an actual not like you know, a Buddhist monk. Or
I think he still could be a good investigator.
You're fucking probably right.
Still could be like Ed Kemper. Ed Kemper was a fucking monster, but he had a lot of good input on other cases.
Yep. And maybe he will. Look, he's still young.
He's right at the beginning of his career.
Yeah, he's right in the beginning of his sentence.
Maybe there's more to this than we know. Maybe,
true.
Maybe he didn't do it. Maybe he took the hands and head so he could be
caught. Boy. Oh,
sweet summer child.
Sweet, sweet, naive, sweet boy, Joel. Okay.
I wish that was the case.
I know,
maybe.
Honey. Hey, it could be.
We'll see. He has a master plan. So he wanted to be an investigator, but he knows he never could be. So he has to kill something. Take responsibility for it to make the friendships that he would never get to make otherwise. Then reveal later, he's in jail, and then he's like, oh, hey, guys, remember when I said all that? Go here, check this out. Then they find some more information and some more evidence that shows that he actually didn't do it. And he's like, see how good I am? I actually got you to put the wrong person in jail. Here's the proof I didn't do it. Now let me out and let me become a cop.
Well, that's our show. Thank you so much for joining us. Happy endings all the way around.
Did I get it right? Is that what happens?
No.
Bro, shut the fuck up. Okay, go ahead, Coop.
I just watched Mindhunter. So.
Yeah, so that shows. It shows.
After describing how he found Warren Barnes, Brian begins giving details of the murder itself. Unlike many other killers, he doesn't attempt to hold back any information and even seems happy to talk shop with the police. While detailing the process, he even asks if he can stand up to better reenact the murder.
Yeah.
And I think that's one of the biggest things that bothered me about all of it is how casual he is about everything.
So this is where he's talking about how he actually did it.
And specifically asks if he can stand up to reenact the events.
Okay, if I do a demonstration.
Oh, yeah.
This is him. I was straddled on top of him like this.
Okay.
And he couldn't fight back. It was actually surprisingly easy. I was barely breaking the sweat. I thought, oh, this guy, he's going to be tough. But no, it was actually surprisingly easy. And during the time, I was growling.
At that point, the investigator's like, why? He's like, I don't know. You know?
Getting into it.
It really is like all the answers that you would give. You're like, I don't know. It just felt like it felt right in the moment. Do you know what I mean? Like, it felt like I'm killing someone. I'm going to growl.
Yeah, he's not only talking about the things that he did, he's talking about what he was thinking and...
Very aware, which is, again, why BTK is one of the most fascinating. Just very aware of why and when and how he's feeling and all of that.
And honestly, overall, it is useful in the long run to have insight like that into killers where they're just flat out saying, oh, this is what I was doing. This is what I was thinking at the time. And like being able to, I mean, if you can even call it introspection at that point, but
it's
to just
self-aware, like self-aware of exactly what, you know,
yeah,
why. And even if it's the most gruesome, egregious thing, you still know like what you were thinking, why you were doing stuff. I mean, that is, to any one of us, it would be a fucking blur if we even had to like defend ourselves. Think of any fight you've even ever been in. It's like, I don't remember shit. Like, kind of, but you know details or, you know what I mean?
And also, in those situations, you would leave out the stuff where it's like, oh, I was growling like an animal and I said all this weird shit. No, he is describing everything. If you watch the entire interview, he describes everything from start to finish, including the actions and exactly what he was thinking and saying and doing at the time.
Monotone.
It's unreal.
It is so crazy.
Brian admits that throughout the murder and afterwards, he was making animalistic noises. At one point, Warren desperately asked why Brian was doing this. He coldly informed his victim, quote, I have been thinking about doing this for a long fucking time. If it wasn't already obvious that Brian was a few cards short of a full deck, the sounds he made and the things that he said during and after the murder made it clear. Along with making animalistic noises during the attack, Brian admitted that after Warren had taken his last breath, which I wanted to specifically leave that part out where he describes
what he did to him.
Yeah, well, we keep a little bit of that in there, but he describes the exact sounds that Warren made when he was dying, which is just really fucked up. I mean, I know we joke about a lot of messed up shit, but...
Like, he reenacts it?
Can't make a joke about that. No, describes it. Like, if you think, you know, there's always questions of how people, you know, in the final moments, how they sound, what they, whatever. And he's just describing, answering all those questions for you, basically.
Easily. And like,
yeah, very, very clearly.
He sounded like this. This is what he was doing. And then finally, yeah.
He admitted he was gay and then he shit his pants.
I mean, all of that.
And, yeah, I mean, not the gay part.
He said, Joel's gay. Yeah. he outed you, dude. So,
along with making animalistic noises during the attack, Brian admitted that after Warren had taken his last breath, he began saying out loud, and this is a direct quote from the interrogation, stinky, dirty, dirty, stinky, stinky. When asked why he said this, he explained that he was just speaking his thoughts out loud. That was just his
train of thought. He didn't smell or anything. He said, I couldn't smell anything. That's what I was thinking, so I just said it.
Yeah, and even when he's describing himself making the growling noises, because he acts out the growling noises, and when he's talking about saying stinky dirty, he says it in the voice that he said it during the murder, which is like a growling voice.
Drops into that other voice, yeah.
And then
like fucking Schmeagle and Gollum.
kind of it sounds
actually,
like that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it does seem like two completely different people.
Dirty, dirty, dirty. Yeah, yeah.
And also like the way that he talks in the interview, any video evidence of him is completely different than the way that he describes himself during the murder, because he will flat out talk about himself having a full blown mental break, growling, saying weird things.
Does he call it a mental break though? I think he says that he does.
He said that it was like a mental break or a freak out or something like that, but he only says that once throughout the entire like hour and a half interview. A person's emotional reactions to recollecting a crime can be extremely informative, both to investigators and psychologists studying the mind of the killer afterwards. Some people show remorse, some are clearly traumatized by their actions, and then there's Brian Cohey. Words cannot accurately describe his demeanor while recounting the events following Warren's death. So we'll let Brian speak for himself. This is a little later on in the interview when he's describing what he did with the body after the murder. It's.
And then, let's see. Yeah. And then after that, I stripped his clothes. I cut open his belly to see his guts.
Ah! And then he made a FaceTime call.
And said, and FaceTimed his mom and said, "Mom, look. Look at all these guts.
Look, Mom, no hands. I cut them off."
Then I cut off his head. I gave him a Glasgow smile. What's that? A Joker smile.
Where you cut
his mouth. I destroyed his eyes by stabbing them.
Okay.
And then I cut off his hands. I put those in plastic Ziploc bags. And then, let's see. Yeah.
So it, after the
off. Her legs were cut off, her, you know, this is like one of those that people think that this is what we like watch and whatever all the time. No,
he gave him the Joker.
This
smile.
Is rough, yeah. Where they cut just the mouth, yeah. To give
you want to know how I got these scars?
Yep.
Kind of thing. Yeah, there. Surprisingly, there are things that are even a little disturbing for us. And this is, there was something about this case, the way that he describes everything, that just, it bugs me so much. How, like the joke about how after he cut his stomach open to see his guts, he's like, "They're really pink, by the way." And then laughs, he's like, "Oh, I'm sorry, that's
yeah,
morbid."
He's like, "Sorry, that's morbid." Like, knowing it's not good.
Yeah.
Saying it anyway. There's so many moments in this where you're like, he knows he's being fucked up, says it's
care.
Fucked up, says it anyways. And so, but if you're doing like an insanity, let's say, plea, now, the sane person that sits in front of them in the interrogation, you can't, that's out the window. Because he's very sanely talking about all the insane things he did.
Yeah, fully admits throughout the entire interview what he was thinking, what he was feeling. And you can even tell, like you were saying, he knows the difference between right and wrong, even just by the fact that he mentions that that's morbid.
Yeah, and
that's
even,
one moment of the entire interview.
Right. And he even knows when you're talking to people, like, it might be too much for, you know, having that level of awareness.
Yeah.
It's just, it's so fucking weird. This case really bugs me for some
like
reason.
You're saying there's a spectrum, you know, they're saying he's autistic and ADHD, there's a spectrum,
he's somewhere
nowhere near, right?
He's on the infrared area of the spectrum.
Yeah, it's a great mind. It's unfortunate that it's gonna not be used for good
again, you know. Little more of the story. You never know, huh? I know you like to just keep hope alive till the very end, don't you?
There's a happy ending.
There's a happy ending, okay?
He's dead now?
So Brian goes on to tell detectives how he dismembered Warren's corpse.
Did Brian die?
Yeah. Wait. Gosh, I don't want this guy to... He's so fascinating, huh? Warren's corpse, dumping the torso and pieces of limbs in the Colorado River. Brian even offers helpful tips on where the body may have ended up coming to rest after floating away. He then explains that he took two bags home with him, one containing Warren's severed head and the other containing his hands. From there,
why?
It was only a matter of days before his mother discovered the trophies inside the closet. Also, when he's trying to dispose of the body, he backs his car into almost like a boat ramp by the Colorado River. Do you talk about this?
No.
Boat ramp a couple days before Warren is reported missing. There's a car that had tried to back up down a boat ramp and wasn't able to get back up because it didn't have four-wheel drive and ended up in the river sinking. And he calls his mom. There's some bystanders, some like, you know, do-gooders, whatever, that are trying to kind of help him. He's got the body at this point.
Holy shit.
In bags. In the trunk. So it's sinking in the river. He calls his mom, "My car sunk," whatever. The mom comes, then calls police. There's actually footage and recording of her talking to the police about that. Very jovial. Like, I mean, listen.
He was fucking around.
We didn't. They were like, we didn't give him a car till he was 18. He's got some issues. We wanted to prolong it. So this kind of stuff happens. The tow driver comes and is like, hey, man, you need four-wheel. Just so you know, you need four-wheel drive if you're going to be on dirt that's a slope going down. Just thinking that this kid, like, fucked up trying to drive around.
Yeah.
So they get the car out. The tow truck driver sees that there's blood on the bumper, but it had been down there for, I think, a day at this point. So they're kind of like, eh. He says something to investigators, but it wasn't like that looked into, because they were like, well, it could be any number of things or something that's come up from down in the lake. So this is the first thing that happens days before mom finds, you know.
Oh, he must have been pretty nervous that day, if he could feel nervous.
I don't know if he gets nervous.
I don't think he does.
Apparently he has panic attacks and anxiety, but, like, they present over weird little things and not big things, right? So he was just kind of like, mom, this is what happened, you know. Yeah. Mom comes, fixes the situation. And I guess at that point, when he was leaving, he took, like, his bags or whatever with – he took the head and hands with him. And the body, I guess, so he said, because of the car, had floated, you know, down.
Yeah, further
down
the river.
He had pushed, he had gotten rid of that.
See, this is one of my favorite parts of the show, is comparing notes with Jessie, because she finds
the
shit
weird
that I didn't find.
Yeah, and
so even I get to.
So the mom is already concerned at this point, like, oh, my kid is. And I think she said that she felt a little bit weird when she drove up. She sees her child there talking to some strangers. And the car's fully just, like, in the, and she was just like, shit is weird. Like, we thought he was okay. I don't know if he's okay. And that's why she actually went up and started looking through the closet. Cause you're like, he's
got a little bit more curious about,
he's being weird. He's being even more weird after that. He sunk his car. I don't even know how or why he was there. And
what else was in the closet?
Oh Lord.
Besides
hands
and heads, you know, was there like
body pillow with an anime chick on it?
She did say that she found a bag that looked like a murder kit, as we've talked about before. Serial killers will have a murder bag.
Pokemon cards.
Yep, just Pokemon cards and fucking cigarettes and gum. Yeah, no.
Speaking of Pokemon cards, when you see pictures of this guy, he doesn't look necessarily like somebody that would kill and dismember a random homeless person. He does look like somebody that would frequent, you know, Yu-Gi-Oh! Championships at a comic
youthful,
shop or something like that.
You know, nerdy,
obviously
fresh
looks
based.
A little bit off, but doesn't look like, he just looks like a nerd. We've all known people that look like this guy when you see him. And you know that they're off, but you wouldn't necessarily think like, oh, that guy's going to kill somebody.
Who does he look like? Like celebrity or somebody, the first person that comes to your head, so I could see him in my mind.
Ooh, maybe who was the guy that played Sergeant Zim in Starship Troopers? It was Clancy Brown.
That dude?
He looks like a young Clancy Brown with a smaller nose and glasses.
Starship
maybe.
Troopers drop.
He's got a real
square. Yeah, I'm just saying,
head.
Is there any other, like, a non-nerd reference?
That guy's not very famous, Coop. But I know, I see him, but that guy's chubby.
It's like a very young Philip Seymour.
Okay,
young Philip Seymour Hoffman,
okay,
kind
those
of.
Two, those combine, two people.
Combine a young Philip Seymour Hoffman
with your nerd shit.
With Drew Carey on The Price is Right.
Drew Carey.
Like a skinny Drew Carey.
A young, he's not really skinny though. His
not
face
not
is
skinny, thinner than Drew Carey show era Drew Carey.
Office body. He has an office body.
Yeah.
Who was the lady on Drew Carey with the makeup and the...
Mimi?
So Mimi without the makeup, a little bit skinnier, brown hair. Do you get in a picture of him now?
I see him.
Okay.
Okay, Mimi with the haircut of the guy who shot up the San Antonio College.
I never saw that guy.
Benny? Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Right, got the flat top and everything like that.
Did you guys hear about the shit that happened today? I know we're recording a week early, but so a week ago, that guy set himself on fire today?
Mm-hmm.
Another
wait
one?
A week yeah. ago. Oh, that guy set himself on fire in front of the White House, right?
Yeah.
Who was
another
he?
Another one? Not the Air Force guy?
Who was he protesting?
No, it was like out in front of the Trump trial.
Oh, okay. And who was he in favor of?
I don't know yet.
We can guess, huh?
I think it was pro-Trump.
I could imagine.
What? I would probably guess that, too. No offense. None taken. The assumption that the murder of Warren Barnes would go unnoticed was wrong in a big way. The kind old man was known and loved by many people in the community, as we said, as shown by the memorial statue dedicated to him that was erected in a spot he was known to. You didn't laugh at erected? I laughed for him.
I moved that word in that sentence twice. Because I was trying to figure out where Joel would pick
where
up
Joel
on it
would
the
laugh.
Best.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, I had to like laugh for him. And then I was like, wait, really? No?
He might have been distracted.
He's grown up. He's all grown up. Look at him growing up. That was erected at a spot he was. There we go. Spot he was known to frequent. Isn't that? I mean, my gosh. Do you know one guy from Ventura homeless that would have a fucking statue? Not one.
No. I know somebody
so
that
this
I
guy was
a statue for. His name was Donnie. He lived out in Isla Vista, and he was the homeless person that my friends and I always went to buy alcohol for us when we were in high
Crazy
school.
Crazy John would be mine. And his eyes, in the statue, eyes would go like that.
Good old Donnie, he was a bit of a wordsmith. He had this long, I don't know what you
Dick.
Would call it. Like, yeah. It's not a poem.
Hog.
Well, no,
baguette.
Had one
his
of those
pants.
Too, but
yeah,
you know,
wizard sleeve.
Cost of doing business. He might have been prolapsed. I have no idea. I never saw that side of him. I was like,
not the end of the show. Don't turn it off.
I don't know. Maybe he did have one. I was always looking over my shoulder at him, but he had this long. Maybe you could call it a soliloquy or.
Penis.
It was this really no. That's soliloquy.
What are you trying to say,
yeah, just
bro?
Get to the
he
fucking
had,
point.
I'm trying to think of the right word for it. What would you call a really, really long
cock
epic? See, that's why it's taken me so long. Long epic poem. It all rhymes and it tells a story from start to finish.
Fairy tale?
Sonnet.
Yeah, maybe a sonnet.
Monologue.
Short story.
It wasn't a monologue. It was
fairy
more
tale. Short story.
That. Anyway, he had this long story that he would tell called The Dyslexic Viking that was fucking hilarious, and it took him about 5 minutes to tell it, and he would tell it exactly the same way anytime that you asked him to tell it, and that's the reason I remember this guy's name to this very day. His name was Donnie. I don't know his last name, but he would buy us booze, and he would tell us
Donnie
the story
Hugecock.
Of the
yeah.
good old
that's
Donnie Hugecock
a,
talking about
the
dyslexic Viking.
That's not a description, right, of like a sane person, but same. We had Crazy John that we would hang out with, go to his, you know, halfway house and hang out and smoke weed and shit. Like the fact that we're all, it's in a testament to like, they're not all bad.
No,
just people in general. If our parents knew, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
The things that they would be thinking and the things that were actually happening, which was fucking nothing. It was just us listening to this guy's story, smoking some weed and going home.
Yeah.
And they're just like, oh my God, what's he doing to you? And you're just like,
he's actually not
nothing.
Doing shit.
Like,
he's
nothing.
Helping us grow up.
Like, we're hanging out with him. He's hanging out. I mean, it sounds bad, doesn't it?
I mean,
but
it does.
Wasn't.
We've all been
it
on.
It wasn't bad.
At least the three of us, we've been on the inside of that situation. We understand that in the moment, you can tell that this guy's nothing that you have to be worried about. He's just a friendly old homeless guy.
We got vibes.
Kids.
We got vibes, dude. Yeah. Like, yeah. We knew.
Street smarts.
We knew that there was still even people that Crazy John would hang out with that I wouldn't fucking hang out with.
Yeah, you
but
know
there was,
not to.
There was the vibe
exactly.
of
But most
him.
Kids don't have that. It's a skill you have.
Fucking hard knocks, dude.
Yeah, well, that's the reason that none of us got kidnapped growing up.
Right, when everyone else that we knew was going to college, we were learning.
We were drinking with homeless
with Donnie and Crazy John, which is
we
why
were
we
out there on the streets, on the front lines.
That was the. I got one of those guys. His name is Ernie, but
aren't they always?
Yeah,
it's a Ernie, it's a Donnie, it's a Crazy John.
He worked. He had a job. He worked at Vons or something as a checker, and he lived in his truck.
Okay.
And he would buy our booze. And
I love that.
We would have these big parties at my mom's house whenever she was gone that day or gone for the weekend, and we would always invite him because he must have been my age now. Maybe he was older. He seemed really fucking old, and he was kind of
homeless. Remember back back in the day, like, I bet Crazy John was like 32. And we were like, oh, dude, God, he's know, fucking right? ancient. You know what I mean?
True, yes.
So, yeah. Like, there's no way he was like.
He must have been my age now.
You know?
Yeah. So 32.
Yeah. So he was probably 33.
No, he was definitely older than that because he was old.
For sure.
He was all grayed out. He was grayed up. But he always bought us all the booze. But the thing he always would do, there'd be like 50 people raging. And then he'd get so shit-faced and then just pull his dick out.
Yeah, and so, and then that's where, do you know what I mean? By the way, Crazy John never did that.
He was one of the good ones.
Did Donnie?
No.
Did he have a habit of buying minors drinks and then pulling his dick out at their house?
No, not pulling the dick out. Buying booze for minors, yes.
He never fucked with anyone. There was never fights or he never was trying to like fuck chicks. But one time.
What was he doing with?
He was so fucked up. He passed out on the trampoline in our backyard. And
who among us hasn't done that?
Well, it was summer and he had his dick out. It was his pants at his ankles, passed out fully naked, and sunburned his entire body to a point where it was like he was begging me to put alloy lotion on him, and I did it.
On his penis?
No. There's the catch right there. Dude, that was all.
What are you talking about? He was begging you to put.
He just happened to get a sunburn on his dick, and you're the only one that.
He was sunburned on both sides. It was
so he
awful.
Had rolled over at some point.
Yeah, he was like a lobster. I never touched his junk. I would have if he asked me to.
This is one of those where, like, we're telling fun, cute stories about a crazy John.
And Joel's
and a
recounting
Donnie.
The time that he got molested by a homeless person.
And he goes, I have one of those too. His dick was in my face. I had to run hello.
You got it backwards. You got it backwards, Coop. I'm recalling a story when I molested a homeless person.
Yeah. Forced molestation, though.
He was sunburned. That's why I sucked his cock.
Yeah. He said, oh, and I rubbed aloe, and I ran out of aloe, and there's one spot left.
And it was my butthole.
Like,
cut that out.
I know. It's not exactly in the vein. We love it. We love it.
It's my
but
version.
Joel was getting the vein.
It's your version.
That might have.
It's your version. Although, if that had happened in anyway, with the crazy John,
I
would have been like, dude, we're fucking done. We're not
that
hanging
was,
out
well,
with
that was
this
also,
guy.
That was the end.
That was the end.
Yeah, well, he had to go to the hospital. After I sucked his cut. No, the sunburn was so bad. He was like, yelling. And he fucking left. And he
Joel, this is an awful story.
He went to
it's
the hospital.
Awful.
He ended up losing his job. Everything after that. It was over after
he
that.
He had a job?
Actually, this is a story about Joel being the fucked up one.
Yeah.
You ruined a homeless guy's life?
Yeah. He's like, oh, man, I'm trying to like be sober.
No,
I got a job.
I got
she's
a job.
Like, come over to my house. We're fucking partying. I got a trampoline. You can
That's
sleep.
Exactly what happened, actually. Shit.
Fuck,
the first time
dude?
You met him, did he show you his chip from AA?
Like, no,
dude, three years sober, just got this chip.
We would smoke weed
with Crazy John, like, in his sober halfway house. didn't bring the weed. We didn't. Do you know what I mean? Like, we didn't do what you did.
He was an alcoholic before I met him. Because he started giving me rides home, and he would drop me off and, like, slam a fucking flask on the way home and share it with me.
Okay, thank God. I was just sitting here thinking, like, wait, are we the bad guys? Are we the bad influences?
No, I never brought sand to the beach. Like, I just went to the beach. Do you know what I mean? Like, I went to the beach and hung out in the sand. I never, like, do you know what I mean? Procured anything or we were getting it from him.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Okay, maybe I'm the only bad guy.
No, listen, we're all
Donnie
we're
used
all
to
bad
be able
guys.
To
we
tell the dyslexic
it.
Viking
we
from
normalized
start to finish
it from,
until I gave him
for
booze.
Them. We made it like a fun time. They were hanging out with young, you know what I mean? Like
yeah.
We all
I gave Ernie a second chance at life.
I think that's the point of this.
And you gave Ernie a reach around, apparently.
I think that's the point of this is, like, our parents were worried about these guys. You know what I mean? If they knew, they'd be worried about these guys corrupting us. And we were fucking these guys' lives up even more.
Fuck yeah.
And leaving and going back to our fucking...
We were not...
Back in to we everything weren't, they were trying to get away from.
Everything and just being like, bye, you're weird now. I don't want to hang out
yeah,
with you.
Yeah, you're fucking gross, dude.
You're fucking homeless now, dude.
We weren't on the streets with them. They were on the streets with us.
Exactly right. Exactly right. So
that dude's probably dead by now too. So technically I have a homeless kill also.
We haven't checked on ours. Haven't checked on ours, right? I haven't checked on mine. No. I assume, but I just like don't want to know the answer. Do you know what I mean?
I would try to call Donnie, but the payphone that he lived next to has been destroyed.
That's what
point.
I mean. Like there's no way to actually know, and we would actually sound like crazy people, like going to town and like asking people him or whatever.
Yeah, right? He'd be in his 60s. He might still be alive.
I mean, you don't know that. That guy might have been like 28 when you met him.
Seriously.
Living on the streets is hard.
Serious. So, Brian Cohey.
He'd be about 60 by now.
Dude, I'm only 29.
I know. It's how rough. Brian Cohey was charged with first-degree murder as well as additional charges for mutilating a corpse. Never understand those extra charges.
Seems like kind of a hat
that.
On a hat. Is it really
like
necessary?
You killed him. When he was dead, you killed him more. You know what I'm saying? Like what? His attorney unsuccessfully attempted to use insanity, as I said, as a defense. And although Brian was obviously insane, he was found guilty and sentenced to life in prison.
In closing, let this be a lesson to all the parents out there struggling with their rebellious teens. The next time you find some questionable websites in their browser history or a bag of the devil's lettuce in their nightstand, try not to get too upset. They may be getting stoned and watching midget porn, but at the very least, they aren't killing and dismembering homeless people.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen to that.
Amen. Amen. And then another fun fact, the courtroom during the sentencing, it was packed full of people from supporters of Warren from Grand Junction. This homeless guy made such an impact on the community that this guy went down. Brian Cohey went down because
I have so many questions about the wrong Warren Barnes.
100%, dude.
I mean, this guy was like street Jesus.
I know.
I haven't heard any bad things anybody that knew him, and everybody absolutely loved this guy.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder what his homeless shelter looked like.
Under the bridge?
It was pretty fucking sweet, yeah.
Under the bridge downtown.
It's where he drew some blood.
Yeah.
Is
yeah.
A song about him?
Yeah. Yeah. I guess it was pretty. I mean, it wasn't obtrusive to anyone.
No,
it caught Brian's eye, but to everyone else, they were like I said, they thought he had a place to live. So
yeah,
he was doing it well enough that he wasn't.
He did it right.
And, you know.
He wasn't
in
the
way
are,
of anyone, I swear
yeah,
to anything.
Not out there in your face, like begging for money. Stinking up the joint.
Dude, when I was staying in LA with Evan, I was renting the room there in the Hollywood House on Wilcox. And there was this homeless dude that came over and was like, hey, man, I'll keep all the other homeless people away if I can sleep in your bushes. And we were like, sure.
No problemo.
Yeah. And we gave him a beer and literally.
And then his dick came out.
He sucked my cock.
No. Yeah. And I put aloe everywhere as I do.
He slept there every night. But you know that area. There's like 30 homeless people
per
night.
He couldn't do his job, right?
But he did it. He nailed it. Like they really? Stopped coming around. They stopped peeing in the lawn, shitting in the lawn. And usually there'd be like four homeless people some nights on a Friday.
So you only had to clean up your own piss and shit from the front yard?
I kind of love that.
Yeah, and he was cool. Like, he left in the morning. He didn't show up till after dark. Like, he followed the rules, and he told everyone else to fuck off. It was great.
That's, I think, what it's kind of come to out there, right? Like, it's a whole actual underground society with hierarchy. And, you know, this guy was in charge or people were scared of. He knew how to You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They've, and the whole, they've made their... They probably have government. They probably have elections. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. But because
they've got Congress, they've got the Senate.
It's running better than ours.
Three separate branches. There's the judicial branch. There's the drug branch, the alcohol branch.
Yeah, drug branch, alcohol branch. I mean,
yeah, drugs, branch, theft, and sex workers.
Yep.
Sex workers, yeah.
Yeah, the murderers, they're still going to be pariahs.
Hmm. I think there probably is still, like, honor among thieves. Like, you're not a good homeless person. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
you get put to this part. We're actually the hardworking homeless people in this area. Yeah.
Same thing happens in prison. Like, even amongst prisoners, there's a hierarchy where obviously child molesters are at the very bottom. They get stabbed as soon
this
as
this guy is going to be at the top of the food chain there in no time. This guy.
Oh, yeah.
He's going to be running that joint.
Because, by the way, like, you can talk your shit, but someone that's that deadpan, cold-blooded, whatever.
He's going to want to know what it's like to kill in prison.
That's a scary motherfucker. And even to people in prison, because you're just like, we don't know what the fuck he's going to do.
How can you go into prison with that much confidence, knowing the kind of things that happen in there?
I know.
So we all know the kind of things that happen in there.
Yeah, right? Like, after you kill somebody, then you got to try butt stuff.
Right.
You know, so he's going to want to know what it's like to kill and do butt stuff.
You got to do it all. You're in there for a long time. You know what I mean? You start with an aloe blowjob and you end with a wizard sleeve prolapse.
Boom! There it is.
Do I add wizard sleeve to it every time? No, I don't think so.
I don't know. We'll workshop that.
I can't say it anymore.
We'll workshop it off the air. Combination of the two, that might be the magic.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You need reliable appliances to help you conquer the day. And Menards is the one-stop shop for huge savings on new energy-efficient appliances. We carry the largest in-stock selection, starting at low prices and ready to take home today. Check out our top appliance brands, including KitchenAid, Maytag, Whirlpool, Amana, and Criterion. Upgrade today and save big money on new appliances right now at Menards.
Save big.